energy in the arena tonight was unbelievable. It was crazy, and it feels good. You know, we're happy that we're able to do things here in Milwaukee. We're happy that we are going to the third round, and we're happy that you know the people are into it. I don't think I've ever seen people in Milwaukee be so excited about basketball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Bucks Podcast. The stage is set. Eastern Conference Finals are officially Hawks versus Bucks. We want to thank all the listeners for joining us around the world, in America, in Wisconsin, from the Deer District and beyond. My name is KJ Eichstead. I'll be your host, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Alex. How you doing?
KJ, happy to be back on the podcast. Bucks fans, I'm feeling fantastic. I'm still on cloud nine after that series win against Brooklyn. And now our target is set. We have the Atlanta Hawks. So I couldn't be more ready to break down this game and talk about what's coming next. So let's get into it.
Yes, the Bucks just won in dramatic fashion. Game 7 versus the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. The referees, you know, we saw it all. And the Atlanta Hawks just won in similar fashion Game 7 as well against the 76ers. I'm not sure how many fans thought they were going to, you know, beat the 76ers in that series. We'll maybe talk about that a little bit. But it's interesting. You know, it's Bucks versus Hawks, and that's a series we have, and we couldn't be more excited. Before we get into it, just want to thank the listeners once again. Thanks to you, Ike Bucks is now in the top 40 of all basketball podcasts in America, even passing names like the Woj Pod, CJ McCollum, and even Kenny Beecham as well. It's cool to show them how big the Bucks fan base actually is, especially when we show out. So Bucks fans are on the lookout for premium content. We're happy to keep providing it. And we just gave away a signed Giannis jersey and have another giveaway on the horizon. So we just want to say thank you to all the listeners. You guys make this podcast what it is. We couldn't do this without you. 50 plus countries and climbing. And we invite you to invite someone else to listen to this podcast. It's the easiest way to help us grow. Let's keep rising. Let's keep spreading that Bucks love, because you know the major media outlets won't. So without further ado, let's jump into it. So the Bucks and Hawks played three times during the regular season, with Milwaukee taking two of those three games and the other one being a one-point Hawks victory. Alex, I guess initial thoughts, all those games are pretty close. What do you see about this Hawks team as they stand right now in the playoffs as the Bucks' next opponent?
You cannot take the Hawks lightly. They are that team that has, you know, they beat the Knicks. I think a lot of people thought the Knicks were going to roll past the Hawks. And then I think a lot of people thought the Sixers were going to roll past the Hawks. But nope, Trae Young, the leader of this Atlanta Hawks team, has his team playing great team basketball. And that's what they are. They're a team. They had seven players in this playoffs averaging over 10 points a game. That's Trae Young, John Collins, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Danilo Gallinari, Kevin Werder, and DeAndre Hunter and Clint Capella. Hunter is out, so won't have to worry about him. Bogdanovic is a little banged up, so hopefully he's not at 100%. Definitely don't want to see players injured, but just for the Bucks case, hope that maybe he's a little slower. But this is a deep team. They've got Lou Williams. You know, they've got a lot of different guards and a lot of different shooters. Kevin Huerter can find his own shot. Gallinari can find his own shot. Trae Young, you know about what he can create. And they're kind of one of those teams where if you let them hang around, they'll beat you. And that's exactly what the Bucks can't do. They have to put them out game one early. Game one is must win. And that's how I see it, Cage. What do you think about game one being a must win for the Bucks?
Game one for the Bucks, obviously, you know, I think it's a must win. That's my attitude, but it's not a must win in the actual reality of things, because the Bucks just took care of biz against Brooklyn Nets, and obviously they didn't win game one or game two. So really, this Bucks team, you know, they've earned some confidence from me. They've earned some trust from me. I want them to sweep the Atlanta Hawks. I think we can sweep the Atlanta Hawks, and Bucks fans, you know, I'd be curious to see what you think about that as well. I think this team can steamroll Atlanta, and here's why. If you look at the best players on both teams, you know, the Bucks just got through Brooklyn in the series of all series. You know, they might call that Clash of the Titans, like Battle of the Universe, whatever you want to call it. But really, the Bucks, you know, if you rank the players in that series, Kevin Durant would probably be number one. He would probably be on the Brooklyn Nets. James Harden, Kyrie Irving, that's a whole different ballgame. But really, you don't know if the Bucks have the best player in that series or even the best two players in that series. It's a great question, and it's something that we can debate a different time. But if you look at this Atlanta Hawks series, you know, it goes Giannis, Chris, you know, 1A, 1B, and then you have, in my opinion, you know, Drew and then Trae Young. Like, Trae Young is as good as he gets on the offensive end of the things, but, you know, defense is big time part of the game in the playoffs, especially when it's one-on-one down the stretch and you could potentially go at some guys and exploit those matchups. But yeah, I think honestly the Bucks have the best three players in this series with Trae Young and Drew Holiday kind of like a push. But really, I was impressed by the Hawks. You know, I was impressed by their depth.
Oh yeah.
I mean, these guys have a lot of really, really, really quality, what I would call B-list players. Like Clint Capella, depending on the year, depending on the offense, depending on his usage rate, like this guy's been a borderline all-star.
Great for the modern NBA.
Yeah, I mean, Lou Williams is unbelievable. Like, everyone respects Lou Will. Six man,
like Lou.
You know, Kevin Huerter, which is one of these draft picks who's kind of developed really nicely. He's a really good shooter. He's also crazy athletic. You know, he's shooting 40% from three in the playoffs. He's really good. Made a bunch of big time threes in that game seven. Danilo Gallinari, like, obviously not going to be anyone's centerpiece, but when he's the fourth or fifth option, can really go to work. He's shooting 39% from three. This one hurts to say, but Bogdan Bogdanovic, gosh, say a prayer, Bucks fans. That's just unfortunate. You know, maybe we'll touch on that a little more later in the show. But then John Collins is a real, you know, he's the real deal as a player. And Trae Young obviously is up there with the best one in terms of offense. But that was my initial reaction. I do think game one is like, that's the mentality you should have. Let's knock out this young team early. Let's sweep them early. Let's take the spirit out of them. I don't think it is a must win after what we just saw. I mean, we do have home court advantage. I would like to see the Bucks take advantage of that. But really, you know, the Hawks impressed me with their B-list talent, you know, their supporting cast talent. That's elite. That's a deep rotation, especially for the playoffs. But I think the Bucks have the top three players in this series, and for that reason, I think it's going to be a
big-time Buck advantage.
I think I'm split between if I think it's going to be Bucks in four or Bucks in six. I'm split, Bucks fans. So maybe I'll refine my prediction for later in the show. But yeah, I'll throw it back to you, man. I guess just like, what do you take from that? Like all that B-list talent and then the top talent as well.
Well, B-list talent really performs or disappears based upon their coach and scheme. And the Atlanta Hawks, they have a good coach. So if you're not familiar with who their head coach is, it's Nate McMillan, former Indiana Pacers head coach from 2016 to 2020. He joined the Hawks as an assistant. And on November 11th, when the Hawks were 14-20, they fired Lloyd Pierce. They fired their head coach this season after a dismal start and placed McMillan as the interim head coach. Technically, he's the interim head coach. And he has done tremendous things for the Hawks. He's gone 27-11 in the regular season with the Hawks since taking over. So that is scary. That's a 7-11 win percentage. And yeah, I mean, he finds ways to use these B-list players, as you said, KG, to their strengths. They have a lot of shooters and a lot of scorers. Another thing that they like to do is a lot of pick-and-roll action. So the Hawks, they set over 70 ball screens per 100 possessions when Trae Young's on the floor. They like to go and have a guy go up there and do the pick and roll and let Trae Young either pass to one of these shooters on the outside if you know, someone leaves their man. You know, if the defender sags back the center, Trae Young likes to hit that little floater. And if both converge on Trae Young, he throws one of the best lobs in basketball. So that's kind of what you're looking at in terms of the offense. They have a legit offense. And so if I'm thinking about the Bucks, I hope that they're really game planning right now to defend this pick and roll offense, whether that's Drew on Trey and Brooke on the center, or maybe that's Giannis on the center, the guy who's setting the screen. Just cannot let them kill you at what they're good at, and they're going to definitely try and run those ball screens. They'll even use guys like Bogdan Bogdanovic or Gallinari or Huerter to set the screens for Young. So there'll be some pick and pop action as well. It's one of these offenses that looks good, and but like KG said, they don't play the best defense.
That actually changed with Nate McMillan. That's the thing. You know, they're all playing defense, and that's why the Hawks have taken this step forward. It's not because they, you know, miraculously just got a little more offense. You know, we've all seen that. Like, that's not terribly hard to do. But it's really because he's got these guys scrapping and playing defense. He's just a fresh voice. Nate McMillan had this, the Pacers doing the same thing. You know, with them, it was never offense or defense. It was always the offense was the problem. It's like they always had great defense, and now Nate McMillan comes and takes the helm of this, you could say, offensively talented team. Got guys like Bogdan, guys like Trey Young, guys like Lou Willie. You know, exactly.
Offensive. And, double and the really, offense.
So, like, those guys just create offense out of thin air. And it, I don't like seeing that either, but here's how I see it. Bucks have Drew on Trey. I love that. You know, switching, you talk about the screen and rolls. Oh, throw Middleton on Trey. Oh, throw Giannis on Trey. You know, it's like, as long as they don't cook up the Adam Silver special and, like, completely rig the series against the Bucks with the refs, which you got to keep an eye on that, Bucks fans, like...
You know, just look at how the media is handling this Bucks win. I mean,
it's just pathetic. Here's just a side tangent, right? What in the world is wrong with the national media where every single freaking storyline is KD, KD, poor KD, or how did the Brooklyn Nets blow it? It's not about Giannis, you know, taking the first step in affirming his legacy. And it's just like, let's just take this moment to really just show you how disastrous the national media has become. They don't even acknowledge one of the greatest series victories in recent memory. They really don't. You know, overtime, on the road, underdog, nobody respects the Bucks. Like, give them a little respect.
When you put it like that, it, you know, oh, man.
It's just disappointing, and it's like everybody's seeing it. The story is still KD. The story is still the Brooklyn Nets franchise. And really, they're going to Cancun. They're going home. They're going on a beach somewhere. And, you know, the Bucks are still playing. So back to the task at hand, right? I'd have Drew, Giannis, and Chris switching on Trae Young. I love that. But I think Bobby Portis, a lot of our fans are asking, what's the deal with Bobby? I mean, if you think about how he matches up here, you know, guys like Danilo Gallinari, guys like Clint Capella, even a guy like, you know, Huerta or these other, blanking on John Collins, like Bobby Portis is all like a similar body type. And he's not a guy who lacks for effort on defense. You know, he may not be the most gifted defender athletic wise or technique wise, but he's someone who will shuffle his feet out there, you know, play hard nosed defense. And really, he's just a good guy I see who can win this matchup as a vet versus the youngster. There's a lot of youngsters on Brooklyn. Even Bogdan Bogdanovic is, you know, he's only four or five years in the league. And John Collins, same thing. Trey Young, same thing. And like Bobby's like a, you know, he's like that old vet compared to these guys. He's been around for a while. And the Bucks do have some more guys like that as well. But I think Bobby Portis is really going to see a lot more minutes. You know, and it's just like Brook Lopez. Like he should be able to. Really, the Hawks, they don't really have anyone to match up with his size. Like, maybe Capella, you know, but really, he should be able to kind of get some matchup work in there, mismatch work.
I was asked today from a listener of the podcast, shout out Vetla from Norway. He wanted to know, who are the Hawks going to put on Giannis? And I was thinking about that, right? I was thinking, okay, they've got John Collins. I'm sure he'll put in a shift. You know, I'm sure Danilo Gallinari will try and guard him, and I'm sure Clint Capella they'll try Clint because Clint was on Joel Embiid, but
I foresee Clint.
It definitely has to be a committee effort from Atlanta if they're going to try and slow down Giannis. And I think just by the simple fact that they're going to have to all defend hard in order to stop Giannis is going to leave some of these players that were not effective in the Brooklyn series, like Bryn Forbes, like you mentioned Bobby Portis, it's Drew Holiday. You know, it's going to make these guys – it's going to open up the court for them on offense. And I'd like to see how the Bucks, you know, react to who's guarding Giannis, because Giannis should have his way And that's what I think. It's no longer he's got Blake Griffin. They don't have a Blake Griffin. They don't have a veteran defensive leader on this team. You could argue it's Capella. But he's going to be strapped up with Brooke. And I think you got to just keep pounding him because this team is guard heavy. And if you can get early fouls on guys like Clint Capella, on John Collins, I mean, this team has no real backup center. They got Solomon Hill, and they've got this Okongwu guy. I think he's a rookie, actually. and that, I mean, just think about that, Bucks fans, if that happens.
Kind of like you were saying, Giannis should have his way. He really should. You know, Giannis is kind of like that character where he's almost like the Incredible Hulk, where he just got unleashed, and now, like, that was last series where it may have taken him a couple games to get, like, beaten down and knocked down and, you know, in the dirt or whatever to, like, unleash that inner ferocious Giannis that we saw.
His inner Hulk.
His inner Hulk, really. And, you know, he goes Super Saiyan mode. It's like Dragon Ball Z. He goes Super Saiyan. And he just, you know, he hopefully carries that with him into the Atlanta Hawks series and just dunks on all of them. You know, goes for 50 and, like, that's entirely possible. That's entirely possible. Giannis could really just light up the series. I don't think he's here to regress. You know, Giannis is taking steps towards his legacy. He's taking steps towards his destiny. You know, and it's like, I don't think he's here to have the series he just had against Brooklyn and regress. I think he's here to continue putting up these unbelievable performances and, you know, at the same time, get the wins. You know,
I watched his post-game conference again, Cage, from after Game 7, and he said a lot of the guys here, they've been working so hard, and it's not just about basketball. It's about life. You know, like, think about Chris Middleton. Think about Giannis. I mean, Drew Holiday, Brooke and these guys. Brooke, who is, you know, franchise all-time scorer at the Nets.
Zero mention of that by the national media. That's trash.
But back to the point is, the Bucks have all been working so hard where almost they've now recognized that this is destiny. This is our year. And because of that, like you said, I feel like they are unleashed right now. And what the Bucks can't do is they can't take Atlanta lightly and then come out flat because they just, you know, they thought they were going to have an easier series, but that's just not going to be the case. So I really hope that the Bucks, you know, keep with that same mojo. And I don't think
there's that same energy.
There's no reason to suggest otherwise. So, Cage, how about the guard matchup? Because the Hawks have so many guards, right? And they have a lot of shooters. Do you think it'll be an issue for the Bucks to defend some of these shooters?
I mean, absolutely, but the Bucks are going to defend them with length. And just to go back to your point, how the Bucks cannot overlook Atlanta. You know, it's a young team. You don't want them to get confidence. You want to take care of business, get them done in an 0-2 hole. But this is almost like, for those Game of Thrones listeners out there, this is almost like that point when, you know, Daenerys and the good guys, Jon Snow, all them, are coming back to, like, reclaim Westeros and overtake, you know, the bad guys, essentially. And it's like they're heading towards their destination, and all of a sudden at sea, you got to deal with this iron fleet that pops up out of nowhere and launches like a spear at the dragon, and obviously some bad stuff happens. Like that's something you want to avoid if you're the Bucks. Like, you don't want to, like, overlook this Hawks team.
You don't want to be ambushed.
You don't want to be ambushed. You don't want to fly around the corner and be ambushed. And that's something where, like, this Hawks team, I mean, even myself, I mean, like, if we look at the Brooklyn Nets, we look at the Atlanta Hawks, it's like, what's the comparison?
There is none. It's like, yeah. No KD. Thank God.
and no KD. No KD. Just think about that, Bucks fans. There is no KD, Kyrie, or James Harden on the Hawks. There's just Trae Young and a damn good supporting cast. But yeah, it's like, so the Bucks, I mean, they themselves are really going to have to be focused. And, you know, it's really going to come down to that. Like, the Bucks have what it takes to win this series. Yeah, the guard play, you know, will it be tough for Milwaukee to guard some of these people? Absolutely. But, I mean, hopefully, you know, defense is largely an effort thing, and I think the Bucks are trying really hard right now to win a championship. And if you talk to a lot of these Bucks players, or if you listen to some of their interviews, you'll notice a pattern, and that's collectively they're not really looking any further than the next game. know, they are taking this one game at a time. Their mentals are in that space where that's how they're approaching it. You know, every game is a one game, like, let's win this game. And it's kind of like going back to that phrase in life, like, control what you can control. You got to let go of what you can control, but what can you control right now is your effort, your skill, your tenacity in the game that you're currently playing. So it's like, if you think about practical sense, I'd say that's a pretty good mindset to have. And obviously you want these guys to have a championship mindset, but like, they absolutely do at this point. I mean, you wouldn't get through that Brooklyn series if you didn't have a championship mindset. You did not come this far just to come this far. So that's what I think in terms of the defense. Like, honestly, yeah, the offense might give the Bucks some trouble. Yeah, the defense might be stepped up. But honestly, I expect a win.
I do too. And one thing that we haven't really talked about is, I mean, Atlanta's a little banged up. It's not like the Bucks came away from that 7-game series with any major injuries. Knock on wood. They played heavy minutes, and the Bucks still have the big three healthy. They've got Brooke healthy. They've got PJ healthy. Pat, you know, Bryn, Bobby, and the Hawks. If they lose Bogdanovich, or if he's not able to really be like 100%. That's a big blow for this team. He's arguably their second best, offense creator, besides Trae Young. You could maybe put Lou Williams in that conversation. But Lou Williams
can do it all, man.
Yeah,
he's getting old, but he can do it all.
I know, but I'm talking about like a guy who can also match up then with Chris Middleton and probably guard him on the other side. And if you remove Bogdanovich from that equation, that's just. That's another advantage. They're already down DeAndre Hunter. How deep is this team? Well, the Bucks are about to test. They also went through a 7-game series. It's not like the Bucks are the only team here coming off of little rest. Both teams are coming off a heavy, heavy series. And one area that I noticed that the 76ers had success was with Joel Embiid around the free throw line. So, Clint Capella, he was not going to let Joel get to the hole on him, rightly so. And so he was giving Embiid these jumpers from the free throw line, from the three. And Embiid, being the skilled player he is, he was knocking him down. Giannis, on the other hand, I'm sure he's going to get the same type of treatment. You know, they're going to let him shoot those threes if he wants, or let him shoot those free throw line jumpers. And I just hope that Giannis remains as disciplined as he did in Game 6 and as he did in Game 7 and doesn't take those easy temptations. Maybe a few, but not all the time. I hope he works the ball around more because we have other scoring options in this series. We don't have to rely so heavily now on Giannis. Of course, we'll want him to carry the Bucks, but I mean, Chris Middleton could go for 40. Yeah, anyone can go off
every
in this
game.
Series.
Each Bucks big three member should be asked to score 30, and the supporting cast should be asked to score 30 as well. And that gives you 120. And if you hold the other team under 120, that gives you a really good chance to win. You know, and the Bucks are perfectly capable of doing that. Like Giannis can put up 30, Chris can put up 30. Drew can put up 30, maybe some variation of that. Some guys are over, some guys are under. But if the Bucks big three can put up 90 and the rest of the team, the supporting cast, can put up 30 and they can collectively hold them under 120, that's all they got to do. You know, and it's like, here's a question for you, Alex, and also Bucks fans listening. How many, like, if you're saying, hey, you got to, like, stop Trae Young. Like, if you're, like, the assistant coach who's, like, tasked with, like, your assignment is figuring out how to stop Trae Young, like, that's what the head coach gives. He's like, look, man, just dig up some weaknesses, look at the film, you know, see how we can do this. Well, you know there's only so much you can do as an assistant coach. You're like, it's Trae Young. You know, it's like, how am I going to stop him? How many other players in the league would you rather have in this situation than Drew Holiday?
It's probably the best guy for it, honestly. It's like you got the perfect matchup.
You could argue Pat Beverly.
Not as good offensively.
He doesn't get the calls. That's the problem.
Like, I mean, he's not even playing reputation for the Clippers right now in the playoffs, really.
Well, yeah, you got to give him his respect. But, like, who else could you rather have? I don't even know if there is a better person than Drew Holiday to have in this situation. So it's like I'm trying to think of a good analogy. You know, it's like picture –
Well, I got this.
Yeah,
I got this to say. You talked about what are some of his weaknesses, right? And I noticed this. Trae Young, some plays, does not get all the way back on D. He's very reminiscent of LaMelo Ball from his Chino Hills days. So, like, on a fast break, when, you know, it seems like the numbers are against the Hawks, I was watching Trae Young. He'll kind of leak out and get a long inbounds pass. And he's so fast with the ball, Trae Young, that he'll then, you know, get an easy bucket on the other end that'll kind of negate that fast break that maybe the other team had, like the Sixers. They're a bigger team, slower, you know, running up the court, you know, for them is a lot more difficult than it is for Trae Young. And so I really think Drew Holiday has to just always keep his eye on him. I mean, it's like last series we were talking about P.J. Tucker. You know, P.J. Tucker, his main role was to defend KD. Well, if Trae Young gets shut down by Drew Holiday will, you know, he'll have done his job, and the Bucks will win this series if he can do that. Because Trae Young, he's averaging over 29 points a game.
Well, guess who else is going to be guarding Trae Young? His name is Patty C. Patty C is going to get some time on Trae Young, whether it's via screen, whether it's via switch. I think he deserves a lot of credit for just his help in the series prior. You know, Pat Connaughton, he really earned, you know, he really may have played himself into staying in Milwaukee long term. Like, you know, he's on a deal that looks way better when you're giving these kind of playoff performances. Like a lot of people might criticize his deal, but when you look in a vacuum about like the level of output he's giving for a team that's contending for a championship on the salary he's on, it's pretty good value. So I thought that was crazy. But Patty C, back to the original point, is going to be helping out with Trae Young. I'll call it helping out. I think Drew's going to be the primary guy. I think Dante would have Dante.
But
there's no real point in, you know, bringing that up, but because he's out. You know, we wish him well. We wish him to have a speedy recovery, but he's not really going to play this series. So it's like, okay. But yeah, Patty C, you know, he's really just done it all for the Bucks in terms of that role, being a star in his role off the bench and energy guy bringing offense and defense.
Yeah.
And also just sinking monumental threes and playing really good on-ball defense and communication as well. So yeah, just I think he's going to play a bigger role in the coming series than we realize.
I just had an idea, right? You remember NBA fans, the Warriors-Cleveland finals, where Andre Iguodala pretty much just checked in whenever LeBron checked in. He got his rest when LeBron got his rest. And I almost think you have to kind of have Trae Young with that similar treatment here with Drew Holiday. Is there really another good matchup on the Bucks? Like you mentioned Patty C. He will have to guard Trae, you know, some points on, you know, pick and rolls or whatever. But the other guy you're looking at is either Bryn Forbes or Chris Middleton. Realistically, that's going to be guarding Trae. And I could see Middleton, you know, guarding him a little bit. But it's not an ideal matchup because of Trae Young's speed. And so it's almost like you almost just use Drew as kind of that stopper this series, that cornerback that just follows him on the field wherever he goes. Because you eliminate Trae Young, you eliminate Atlanta's best player. You eliminate Drew Holiday from the Bucks. The Bucks still have Giannis and Chris. So it's really not a comparison when you talk about the top elite talent in this series, which is why, like you said, Cage, I definitely feel like the Bucks should win. Maybe we can do a few predictions right now.
Real quick, who do you think is the better coach? Coach Bud, who outperformed, you know, a lot of expectations and somehow getting the Bucks past the Nets. That's unbelievable. I'll give him credit where credit's due. It's frankly just unbelievable. Or Nate McMillan, who took the reins of this Atlanta Hawks team and you know, got them to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm sure no one thought they were going to do that. Like, what do you think about the coaching matchup real quick?
There's no question. Nate McMillan, I'm going to give the edge because nothing's more dangerous than an interim coach on a hot streak. I mean, just the guy, he's got, like, all the momentum. The players have essentially gelled with this guy. They bought in since he took over. I mean, they had over a 700 winning percentage. That's better than the Bucks when he took over. And however, here's my however here. Coach Bud is on the best momentum that he's probably been on as a Bucks head coach.
Man, he's probably thinking,
yeah. You know, like, he, as bad as it was, right? Coach Bud has to believe in himself at this point. Like, he has to believe that he can win this series as well and out-scheme his former team. The last time Atlanta was in the Eastern Conference Finals was when Coach Bud was the head coach. He's familiar with the stadium. He's probably familiar with some people on the staff. I'm not sure about that. But I do think the edge goes to Atlanta here. But how can you not be confident coming off a Brooklyn series win if you're Coach Bud, especially after being down 2-0 and being down 3-2? So I really think I don't think it's going to be the coaching matchup, but I've been wrong before. Obviously, the coaches play a huge part in the playoffs. But if the Bucks' big three take care of business in this series, they should be able to beat the Hawks.
I agree. I think I would give the slight edge to Nate McMillan in the sense where he's kind of had sustained performance, and the Bucks have been largely inconsistent, even though they did just dispatch the Brooklyn Nets. So, like I said, happy to give credit where credit's due. But yeah, Alex, predictions. Obviously, games 1 and 2 are at home. Games 3 and 4 are in Atlanta. The A. What do you think, man? What's your prediction?
Atlanta did get 3 road wins against the Sixers, right? Okay. And Sixers were really good at home. So I do think what you might see is the Bucks come out big, win game 1. I think if Atlanta's going to steal one, they'll steal game 2. But then I think the Bucks go back and take games 3, take game 4 in Atlanta, and then they put it to bed in game 5. I'm going Bucks in 5 right now, and I do think Atlanta's one win will be on the road.
It's actually really interesting because it's almost as if they'd pull an AI in the conference finals in the sense where he went into Los Angeles and won game 1 versus Kobe and Shaq before getting swept 4 straight.
That could happen too. Yeah.
So it's like maybe that's in the cards for the. I just don't see the Hawks beating the Bucks in a 7-game series. I really don't. And if they do,
heads need to roll.
Heads need to roll. Exactly. So I was gonna let people use their imagination for what we might say after that. But yeah, I'm really optimistic about this series. I think Bucks fans all over the place should be really optimistic about just. What's to come for the Bucks? It's like the Bucks did reach out and grab that destiny when they moved past Brooklyn Nets. Just it's hard to really leave that in the past just yet because even though it is in the past, it's so recent.
They had to take it, just like you said about Achilles. They had to go out there and take the beach. They had to take that series because Brooklyn was up, and. It wasn't like Brooklyn lost the series. And I think that's why Kevin Durant was trying to rewrite that narrative when the media was instantly coming at him with those BS questions. KD's like, look, we played pretty good. The Bucks actually played a little better, and they came out and took that series win. And I think that's what it needed, mentally for these guys in Milwaukee to almost believe that they are. This is their year, and that's dangerous when you finally get that momentum. Because we've done it. You've seen it at every level when a team gets that mental belief.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's almost like if the Bucks didn't have the mental belief going in, well, they earned it in Series 1 and Series 2. The Heat and the Nets are a stronger road than the Knicks and the Sixers. So that's just facts. The Bucks have the top 3 players in the series. I would say that. I think Drew, and at this point in time in 2021, I think Drew Holiday has a slight edge as a player all around, factoring in offense and defense and IQ and athleticism and all that height, weight, all that agility over Trae Young. I think you could make a case either way, and I wouldn't really have to. Honestly, you can make a case either way, but I think the Bucks are the top 3 players. Both teams just came off a 7-game series. Bucks have an additional day of rest. Bucks have home court advantage. Bucks have belief. Bucks have, those mental hurdles that they overcame in any which way during the Brooklyn series. And it really, the Bucks just have Giannis. He's destined. I don't know if Trae Young is destined. I really don't know. We said that about on one of the podcasts over the winter.
Is he really ready?
Well, we talked about. Which teams are destined. It's almost like Man, it's almost like the Bucks are destined. You know, you could make an argument that the Suns might be destined to the finals, but I think the Bucks are destined to a championship. I'm gonna say Bucks in six. I was gonna say Bucks in four, but I don't want to be
Bucks and
held to a
six,
sweep.
baby.
I don't want to be held to a sweep. I think it's gonna be Bucks in six, and it would not surprise me if it's Bucks in less than that, Bucks fans. So Al, I just want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to honestly shout out our listeners. You know, we mentioned in the beginning this thing is absolutely exploding right now, and it's really all because all of you guys around the world. So special shout out to Antigua and Barbuda. We actually had our first listeners from there. But also recently just got new listeners from Russia, Somalia, Italy, Indonesia, the Kingdom of Jordan, Japan, Uganda, and Africa, Chile, Thailand, Bulgaria, Eastern Europe, Gambia, more Africa, Hungary, Puerto Rico, Malaysia, Kenya, South Korea, Turkey, Morocco, Portugal, India, Cyprus, Finland, Scandinavia, France, Serbia, Netherlands, New Zealand, Hong Kong, Ghana, Taiwan, Saudi Arabia, Israel, more Middle Eastern presence. Switzerland, got some Europe. Denmark, got some more Europe. South Africa, that's a cool place. Nigeria, Argentina, España, Spain, Brazil, Germany, Sweden, the Philippines, St. Lucia, Greece, of course, the homeland of Giannis, Ireland, Norway, Mexico, Canada, Australia, the United Kingdom, and of course, the United States of America. God bless it. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in week after week and just kind of being on this journey with us. We couldn't do any of this without you. And, you know, if you wouldn't mind helping us out, just share this podcast with someone. Just anyone you know that might like basketball, even if they're not a basketball fan, you might just want to
Maybe they
say,
might
like,
want to be one.
yeah, just like, hey, you know, if you like basketball, if you've heard about these playoffs, you might want to check out Ike Bucks. It'll catch you up. You know, if someone's like a kind of like a newer fan and they want to get involved but they don't know what's going on, maybe this podcast is something that could kind of get them up to speed so you guys can have some good Bucks talk, some good banter. Or, you know, if they're a Bucks fan and they don't really tap into podcasts, it might just be worth mentioning to them. Say, hey, you know, I know you love the Bucks. I know you're a big article reader or something like that. You love seeing them, but the national media never covers them. Well, you might want to check out Ike Bucks podcast. You know, just something like that. It's taking a screenshot, throwing it up on the story. It really all makes a difference.
That's
We
why we're
see.
charting. You guys, thank
Yeah,
you, you know.
well, we see you guys posting tweets on Twitter. You know, it's like all that stuff is just amazing. Some of these reviews you guys leave is amazing, and we just couldn't be more thankful. So as a Bucks fans, we want to give you guys a sincere thank you. None of this would be possible without you, and we're about to unveil a new giveaway in the near future, so stay tuned for that. It's very exciting. It may or may not have to do with. I'm actually going to keep it completely under wraps, but yeah, it's exciting. So
It's some heat, guys. Don't
it's some
worry.
heat. It's some heat. So,
Yeah.
Alex, I just want to ask you any final thoughts as we wrap up?
Final thoughts. Now that we've got the Hawks, I'm excited. I didn't want the Sixers, just being completely honest. I wanted the Hawks, and here they are. And the Bucks have every opportunity to win this series. I expect them to win this series, but it's going to take big performances from the big three, the supporting cast. Coach Bud's going to have to get his brain on straight. And I think they can do it. And so I'm going with the Bucks. Thank you again for tuning in. As KG said, please share it with a friend. And as always, Bucks fans, keep spreading the love. I mean, the city is hopping in
The city's on,
Milwaukee.
like, it's unbelievable.
The banter around the world is nuts about the NBA playoffs. It's really kind of one of those things that has overshadowed the Euros right now.
Oh, yeah.
And
NBA
it's.
playoffs going crazy right now.
Yeah, and the fact that the Bucks are still here, Eastern Conference Finals, let's enjoy it. So have fun. Thanks for listening, and thanks for having me on the show, Cage.
Yep, we'll talk to you soon, Bucks fans. Until next time, we're out. Thank you.
wanted. Can't wrap my head around you. Getting caught in your wave, lost in your waste. All night thoughts of you, babe, I'm tripping. You're your own thing, on your own thing, I'm tripping. Don't keep me waiting, keep me waiting. Don't keep me waiting, keep me waiting. Friends are all leaving me. Tension is-